The global economy stands at a critical inflection point. Imagine a world where emerging economies like China and India drive global growth more than the United States, where sovereign wealth funds from the Middle East rescue Wall Street banks, and where complex financial instruments transform overnight from miracle innovations to toxic assets. This isn't speculative fiction, it's our economic reality. The collision between established economic systems and emerging forces creates both tremendous opportunity and significant risk for investors, policymakers, and citizens worldwide. The question isn't whether transformation is happening, it's whether we can recognize the signals amid the noise and position ourselves advantageously for the journey ahead. A fundamental transformation is underway, driven by three powerful shifts. Emerging economies becoming independent growth engines rather than Western satellites, sovereign wealth funds emerging as influential capital allocators, and financial innovation creating complex instruments that have altered market dynamics in ways few fully understand. The 2007 subprime mortgage crisis and 2020 pandemic supply chain disruptions illustrate how isolated problems rapidly cascade into global economic shockwaves during transformational periods. Navigation is particularly challenging because these changes first appear as noise, anomalies in long-standing relationships dismissed as temporary aberrations. Negative interest rates, unconventional stock valuations, and trillion-dollar tech companies initially seemed like oddities before being recognized as structural shifts. By the time these signals are properly interpreted, disorderly adjustments have often begun. The journey ahead will be bumpy, characterized by handoffs between actors, instruments, and institutions. The challenge lies in managing this inevitable turbulence while maintaining focus on the emerging horizon. We consistently miss economic turning points because we resist recognizing fundamental change, often dismissing market anomalies as meaningless noise or temporary deviations. This blindness stems from both psychological and institutional factors. Psychologically, we seek patterns that confirm our existing worldview. As Keynes observed, the difficulty lies not in the new ideas, but in escaping from the old ones. Institutionally, career incentives favor conventional thinking. Being wrong with the crowd is safer than being wrong alone. Consider Greenspan's conundrum, where long-term interest rates fell despite rising short-term rates, or contradictory signals between equity and bond markets. These weren't mere oddities, but early indicators of fundamental shifts in global capital flows. Separating meaningful signals from market noise requires discipline. Identify unusual market dislocations, treat anomalies as potentially significant, assess through economic modeling, distinguish between factors affecting destination versus journey, and remain open to both cyclical and secular influences. When analyzing anomalies, determining whether they relate to the steady state or the process is crucial. Sometimes anomalies create feedback loops that accelerate change by altering the journey itself. Emerging economies have become sustainable engines of global expansion. By 2007, China had surpassed the United States, EU, and Japan as the primary contributor to world growth at market prices. Using purchasing power parity measurements, both China and India each contributed more than traditional economic powers, with China's impact three times that of America. Unlike previous eras, emerging economies now possess three key advantages: strong internal demand offsetting reduced exports, relatively high export values, especially for commodity exporters, and robust balance sheets enabling economic stimulus when needed, a significant departure from their historical position. What's remarkable is how this growth has occurred alongside persistent trade surpluses and international reserve accumulation, breaking from historical patterns where growth typically caused external account deterioration. This success stems from pragmatic policies. Rather than adhering rigidly to ideological prescriptions, countries like China and India have blended theory with practical case studies, emphasized experimentation and made timely adjustments to accelerate reform. As these economies shift from production to consumption, their imports will outpace exports, with demand increasingly including luxury goods. This transition is already visible as expanding middle classes drive global consumption of energy, materials, cars, and food. What happens when nations accustomed to borrowing suddenly become lenders? Emerging economies manage growing international reserves through four phases. First comes benign neglect. Countries assume changes in external accounts are temporary. Next is sterilization, where countries recognize capital inflows contribute to inflation or threaten currency appreciation, responding by sterilizing inflows through domestic debt issuance and investing in risk-free instruments. The third phase involves liability and asset management. To minimize negative carry, countries buy back external debt. As debt diminishes, they focus on increasing returns on reserves, often establishing sovereign wealth funds. Finally comes embracing change, recognizing their permanent shift from debtor to creditor status, requiring fundamental policy changes that typically encourage domestic demand alongside external demand. While most emerging markets were merely aspiring to phase one a few years ago, many have rapidly progressed through phases one and two, are well into phase three, and some, like China, India, and several oil exporters, are now contemplating phase four. This transformation coincides with rapid development of domestic financial markets in emerging economies. The proliferation of derivative products has transformed financial markets, reducing barriers to entry and creating unprecedented linkages across market segments. This revolution particularly affected mortgage products, introducing customizable options that better matched borrower needs while introducing new, often poorly understood risks. Derivatives revolutionized business through securitization, a process that altered how risk is packaged and distributed. The mechanics involve two steps. Individual loans are bundled into a reference pool of diversified similar assets, then divided into different tranches of risk with distinct risk-return profiles. This basic structure can be further complicated. Tranches themselves can be bundled and retranched repeatedly, creating CDOs, CDO squared, and more complex instruments. This layering enables virtually unlimited customization, but creates three significant challenges: reduced market liquidity due to instrument uniqueness, increased technical complexity making valuation difficult, and greater distance between investors and underlying risks. Despite the 2007 setback, securitization's future remains promising. Its fundamental advantages are compelling. Enhanced portfolio diversification, precise risk customization, broader market participation, improved market liquidity under normal conditions, reduced transaction costs through standardization, and the breakdown of traditional geographical and product boundaries. How do we position ourselves for this new economic reality? Asset allocation requires distributing capital among different asset classes with a disciplined, long-term approach. This structure anchors investment decisions, helping avoid traps like narrow framing and herd mentality. Most investors over-allocate to domestic equities. A globally diversified stock exposure provides better balance and hedges against U.S. dollar depreciation. Real assets, commodities, infrastructure, real estate, offer inflation protection and low correlation with traditional investments, while bonds remain crucial despite headwinds. Enhanced risk management is essential as structural transformations lead to asymmetrical reactions, market failures, and increased black swan events. What seems important but not urgent today, positioning for the new secular destination, will ultimately distinguish strong performers from average ones. The global economy faces a tug of war between destabilizing forces, financial excesses, overleverage, resource pressures, and stabilizing elements, balanced growth from emerging economies, and deployment of excess savings. Decisive action can shift the balance toward a virtuous cycle of high global growth, declining poverty, and relative financial stability.